¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Best Stop Cajun Market in Katy. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome into Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are broadcasting live out of the Best Stop in Katy, Texas. They brought us food yesterday, and they said they're bringing us food today, so I can't wait. I'm ready. I'm ready to get some good grub in. There was some food yesterday they said doesn't travel the best.
Okay.
So we're going to be getting some of that today. So some of the same, some different stuff. We're out here all day till 6 o'clock, us and then the Killer Bees, broadcasting live from the Best Stop in Katy, your best stop to get ready for college football. You want a tailgate, you can get all your food here. You can get everything you need for an NFL Sunday, for a college football Saturday. If you're just going to eat at home on the tailgate, whatever it is, you know, it's a great place to come and go. I walked in, and I was like, this place is very cool.
Yeah.
This is my first time. I had never gone to one in Louisiana before, so this is my first time out here. Very cool setup. They have the dining area, and you got the area where you can just shop as well and get all your, you know, boudin, whatever you want to get, is all available out here at the Best Stop in Katy. Obviously today. Well, we have to talk about the Houston Astros.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
We can't just eat.
No, we can't.
We got to work for our food.
Yeah. So the Astros lost 5-0 yesterday. They've lost the series to the Philadelphia Phillies. They've lost. They are 1-4 since Spencer Arrighetti, who was on the mound today, said the Astros are back. So lesson learned, don't say things like that, Spencer Arrighetti. Yeah. Thank you, Austin. So they're 1-4 since they've said this. It's not a curse full on, but we saw the Mariners this year with Cal Raleigh say it's always good when the Astros lose, and that's really when the Mariners went into the tailspin. But the Astros lose yesterday. Justin Verlander was fine, I think is the way to put it. He was okay. That's what he said after the game. Yeah, he was okay. Like, it wasn't his best stuff. It wasn't his worst. You know, he obviously had the one inning where he gave up most of his runs, or all of his runs, and he just wasn't, he's not fully back yet, but 40-plus-year-old Justin Verlander, it's not that much different than what I expect. Coming off an injury and still, you know, not fully there yet, you hope it gets better, you think it's going to get better, but I would just say he was fine in yesterday's game.
Yeah, it was probably a C-minus, if we're putting a grade on it, where it's just below kind of what the average expectation for a, like you said, 40-year-old Justin Verlander start is. After the game, he compared it to like a spring training type situation, which don't really love that comparison. But at the end of the day, I mean, Joe, you got to score runs to win in baseball.
Yeah, you do.
Your offense has to show up, and so as you know. Unimpressed as we were with Verlander, at the end of the day, he literally got no run support.
Yeah, and that's what he's had through two starts. Like you've got nothing from the offense. The offense has been objectively terrible recently. I mean, it's been up and down all season, but you're getting very little production from your offense. You're not getting clutch hits from your best players. You're getting a lot of empty runs from your best players. So you're just not getting a ton that you need right now from the Astros, and it begs this question, you know, with the offense that we'll get into a little bit later, is how far can they take you? We'll do that at 1 o'clock. We'll do soft boys at 12:30. But one of my questions after watching last night's game and, you know, with Blanco and Verlander, and knowing last night you didn't have Abreu and you didn't have Hader and you didn't have Neris available to you, I really do wonder what the balance is for this team of deciding to stick with the six-man rotation. Because you're not having guys go deep into games. You've got a bullpen that's taxed. Your starting pitching's taxed, of course. You've got guys like Blanco and Arrighetti, and even Hunter Brown, who are going to blow past their career longs in innings pitched. So I wonder what's the best strategy for the Houston Astros the rest of the season. Is it go with the six-man rotation like they are in right now, or because your starters are not being able to give you, you know, length in games, is it better to go back to a five-man rotation and move a guy like Spencer Arrighetti into the bullpen so at least when you need it, you have someone there that can give you two or three innings and cover up the most of a game?
Yeah, it is a tough situation. Really, this is the part of the schedule where you feel it the most, playing over 20 games in a row with no days off. So you get – that's where this this conundrum really you feel the most. And, yeah, in a perfect world, you go six-man with these starters. They would at least, you know, two or three of them would give you a seven-inning start when it's their time around. And you could work with that. But the fact that part of it is the Astros and the performances that they're getting, part of it's just baseball today where you can't really pencil in a starter to just go seven innings. That's just not realistic, and especially with some of the guys that the Astros are depending on. I mean, we said 40-year-old Justin Verlander. There's only so much length that you can get with him. Someone like Blanco or Arrighetti, there's only so much length you can reasonably expect those guys to get. Really, Fromber is the only kind of traditional lead of the rotation guy where you give him the ball on his time to start and you expect at the very least six innings.
Yeah, and that's where it's this delicate balance of just, I don't know. I don't know how you figure it out. Like, I don't know how you determine what's best because you have guys in every situation who are just taxed. And
yeah,
I guess, to be honest, I lean going back to a five-man rotation. That it's I look at when you get to the playoffs and you think back to 2022 and what worked so well for the Houston Astros is that you had a shutdown bullpen. And now with Neris back, having two very good outings as he showed up since he showed up here in Houston, he's a guy that you can rely on, I think, already in the playoffs, in the sixth inning. His problems in Chicago were that he couldn't be a closer. Well, that's not what he's going to be here. So have Hector Neris be your sixth inning guy. Give you Abreu and Presley and Hader in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. And then in the postseason, all you really need is to have your starters go five. If Justin Verlander goes five innings and it's 1-1, but he's thrown 90 pitches, like you're still set up for success. So The process of getting to the postseason still, I mean, the Mariners, they lost last night, thankfully. You're 3.5 games up in the division. But once you get to the postseason, the bullpen is what you need the most. So if there's a way to alleviate some of the stress on those arms, I think I want to lean there because I trust still that Justin Verlander, Kikuchi, and Fromber, and then I would say Hunter Brown, of course, as well. He's a little tougher just because I didn't mention him right away because of his innings total.
Yeah.
But the four of those guys, like I have confidence that they can get you five innings any given night right now, and I just want to keep the bullpen as fresh as possible.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it, is the kind of more long-term aspect. The only pushback I would have to that is how long-term can you think when you're the Houston Astros and you're not running away with the division? You're still in a division race, and a division race we still feel good about them coming out on the other side of, but we knew it was going to be a tough stretch, and it has been a tough stretch so far with on this road trip. So I understand the thought process of the playoffs. You want to have or in the playoffs, your bullpen's going to be more important. Therefore, you want them to be more fresh. But you do need to make the playoffs. That is not that you can just fast forward to. And so I think it makes for a balance of you have to try to optimize and probably try to find out some middle ground. And
I think that's where we're headed. I think we're headed to a middle ground.
Yeah, and we talk so much about, like, especially early this season, the adjustment, play better. And you just need guys to pitch better. And that's what ultimately will make the management decisions easier, is if you're getting the kind of outings that you expect out of these guys and you're not having to constantly MacGyver your way through a season.
Yeah, I lean like they're going to find a a middle ground here. And what I would guess the middle ground is that you're going to have Spencer Arrighetti be penciled in as your sixth starter. But in the future, what you might see is where Justin Verlander can only go four innings or five innings, and your bullpen's taxed, that you're going to move everyone up a day. It'll be easier when you have off days coming up, which they don't have a lot of right now, which is part of why this is a really tough stretch for the Astros. But we saw them do that earlier this season, where you would see guys come in from the bullpen, and it would change the rotation a little bit. And then the next time around, they would go back into their normal, you know, six-man thing that they were doing, which, I mean, it was a very short time. I think it only lasted like a week or two.
Yeah, I think
before they
only
had more injuries.
Like, one or two starts that they did. Maybe two starts that they did like that.
Yeah, so that is probably the middle ground here with Arrighetti or Blanco or Hunter Brown, if you were desperate and needed to, were just the... Because, like, even think, like, going to last night, like, while your offense didn't score, so you had no prayer to win the game, I mean, I think, I think Jeremy Branham was very astute to point this out, but it was very funny that the Astros tweeted out that the game, they tweeted out the lineup.
Yes, before the game, they tweeted out the lineup.
Yep. And then they tweeted out that they lost.
There's nothing in the middle, in the something, in the, what, it would be like 4 hours, because the lineup came out a little bit before 3, and the game ended probably around 7:30. Or maybe 8. So, yeah, they made it an entire game with zero highlights. And that honestly is the best way to sum up what happened last night. In a way, if there is a game that you're not going to have any of your high-level or high-leverage relievers available, it's a game you had no hope of winning. So you can go with Caleb Ferguson and just trot him out there.
Yeah, I mean, and now... Which, like, also, he's almost like the white flag.
Yes.
At this point.
Like, I mean, he's like Lefty Montero.
Caleb Ferguson comes into the game, and you're just like, okay. Well, I guess we've called it a day on this
one. I can move this for either from one TV to the other, from the TV to the laptop. This one is over.
Yeah. And we are on Twitch and YouTube today. No video at the moment. We're working on getting that back up. But your comments and texts and everything like that are still welcome into the show today. Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey says that three-man collision was almost really bad. Yes.
Yeah, I'm fine that they all kind of pulled up at the end.
Yeah, too bad they got a cleat.
Yeah, but ultimately what's more important, don't get hurt doing that. I'm okay trading this out again in a game that, because they couldn't hit, they weren't going to win. And I'm okay sacrificing health, or sacrificing the out for health of those three guys.
Yeah, so Altuve I was a little worried about there, because it just looks like he just caught a spike, and those are weird injuries, but I mean, at this point, you never know. I mean, injury update, Kyle Tucker, sprinting.
Sprinting, but not around the bases. That's the final hurdle, is can he sprint around
so
bases?
Many hurdles.
There's so many hurdles.
I'm so over these hurdles.
It's like the 400 hurdles in the Olympics. Yeah. It's not the 100.
Do they do more than that?
For hurdles? Yeah, I don't know if they have an 800.
I was like, is there an 800 hurdle? Because that's what I feel like we're at the mile hurdle. We might be at a marathon hurdle at this point with Kyle Tucker.
The steeplechase where there's water on the track, too?
Yeah, I forgot about that. We didn't have that in my high school. We would go to random meets where, like, they had it.
Yeah.
And I guess it was, like, richer schools or something like that.
Yeah, because it is more equipment.
Yeah. So all of a sudden we would see it, and we'd have people doing it for the first time, and it was always...
What the hell is
it? We were like...
Why am I wet?
Yeah, it's just a random thing. All right, Astros lose 5-0, game at 3:05 today. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound as they try to rebound and get back in the win column after this stretch, this 1-4 stretch, since Spencer Arrighetti said that the Astros are back. So, you know, not great.
No, don't do that.
When we get back, at least the Mariners lost. And just how important is today's win, plus the latest on Kyle Tucker, a little bit of down with Dana Brown as well. It's Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Best Stop. Austin, I have no Wi-Fi, so we're going to go to break, and I'll do my live read next segment.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Best Stop Cajun Market in Katy.
Gallant and George with Joe and Sean filling in for Paul today out here at the Best Stop in Katy. I think we just realized that Sean and I are both terrible people. They just brought us a bunch of really good food. and we just started taking a bite of it with our headphones on.
Directly into the
mic. So like Austin, who's back at the studio, could just hear us like crunching on some crackling as we were getting going. So I think we might be terrible people.
A full ASMR experience that he did not ask for.
Yeah, so that just happened. But we are out here at the Best Stop in Katy. The Killer Bees will be here after us till 6. Come on out. Great spot to get all your food and everything for a college football Saturday, NFL Sunday, tailgating, whatever you want. It's awesome. It's really cool here. They have the dining area as well. It's just a full shopping area as well to get all your seasonings or whatever kind of food you want to get to make at home. So very cool spot. Come on out. Come hang out. Get some lunch with us, and we'll be here till 6 o'clock. At least the Mariners lost last night.
Yeah. Yeah, we got that going for us.
That's the positive.
Other than the food, the only thing I think we have going for us is that the Mariners did find a way to lose last night, thanks in large part to former Astro legend, I dare say, yes. Jose Siri.
Yeah, Jose Siri coming through in the clutch last night for the Astros. Once an Astro, always an Astro. Yes. Also, Yandy Diaz. I'm going to put him in the should have been an Astro category. So
Former rumored Astro.
Yeah, former rumored Astro, Yandy Diaz, also with a home run last night's game to help the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Seattle Mariners. So 3.5-game lead, couple texts here from the 832. I still don't view the bullpen or starters being taxed. You can win games. You can't win games scoring zero runs. The offense is too good to not produce. Okay, I don't think they're taxed totally and just yet. Blanco, I'm going to say yes. I think he's taxed.
I think it's a case-by-case basis, and the thing is you're having to depend on all these guys. It's Blanco. It's Abreu. It's these guys that are taxed, but it adds up.
Junior Blanco asked on our Twitch and YouTube, because we have an advertisement up there since we're not on video, where's the listener party? The listener party is at the ESPN studios. So you can come on out. You go to the ESPN975.com. Go to the promotions tab. If you want a guaranteed ticket, because that's the only way to guarantee that you'll get one this year, you can get one online. ESPN975.com under the promotions tab is where you get them right now. I mean, when I say tax, Sean, I just think what you had from Blanco and Arrigetti, where it was very consistent at times, you're going to see that dwindle a little bit. Yeah. You're seeing that a little bit with Taylor Scott, who is I saw this yesterday. He's pitched the most innings with the lowest ERA of anyone in baseball. So, like, there's a threshold that they're looking at. Taylor Scott's been incredible, but he's started to become a little more inconsistent. And I just think these guys are a little bit tired. It's not that Blanco has fallen off a cliff. I don't think we're anywhere near that. You're just not consistently seeing the really good outings from him. I think it's because he's a little bit tired. Some of the pitches are not as effective as they always are. So I think that's what I mean by tax. Like, I don't think that these guys are, what Hunter Brown was last year. Like, where Hunter Brown, it really fell off a cliff. We're not there yet with
JP France
guys.
Too.
Yes, the three-man collision looked like that Spider-Man meme where they're all pointing at each other. Yes, yes, it did.
I saw a funny one where someone photoshopped Velma from Scooby-Doo looking for her glasses on all fours. And that is very much the pose that I think that Myers and Altuve were both in. That was a very good meme. So it wasn't an enjoyable game, but at least we got a little bit of amusement out of it after, obviously, we found out they were all okay.
Yeah. Also from the A32, the moment JB let four runs, I turned off the TV and just enjoyed the beautiful weather yesterday. I mean, it's going to rain every day for the next week, so good call.
Yes, yes. And I would have done the same thing. If I, it's one of the shortcomings of this job is sometimes you have to watch a boring baseball game.
It is part of it. It just gets the smaller TV or the phone.
It got the laptop.
I went phone. I put my son to bed.
I had a little bit more respect. I put it on the 14-inch.
Well, it was one of those things where, like, when I put my son to bed, I start watching the game on my phone as he's falling asleep so I can just continue watching it. And it's just after he fell asleep, I didn't go back. Yeah. I went to Game of Thrones.
It never made the jump back.
Yeah. Got it. I went straight into the Game of Thrones rewatch.
Okay, where are we at?
The Battle of the Bastards.
Good. That's a good one.
That just happened. That's so we are in a good
We're in a good spot.
Ramsey just got eaten by dogs.
Yeah.
Sam Rico, our social media director, is here looking at the food. Go for it.
Didn't say hi to us.
Free
just
for all.
For the, food.
The camera's not working. So you just put a piece into an awkward phone, looking like an awkward person. We're getting rational text messages.
Who are these people?
I just want to, because the Twitch, I want to make sure the Twitchers know this is not me.
Okay.
This is not Joe George. I do not endorse this message.
This is not an endorsement.
This is just, I'm just reading this.
Yes.
So from the 979, should have gotten rid of Bregman when we could have. Because, you know, he ain't going to produce nothing but salsa and a bald head. Come on, man.
That's funny. I don't agree, but that's funny.
Make sure you put bad salsa. No offense, Greggy, but it's not great. It's not great.
You're right. Yeah. No, you're right. I was trying to be nice. You're right.
It's not good salsa.
We shouldn't have traded him.
What's the comp for Alex Bregman's salsa right now? I'm going to say it's like Spencer Arrighetti salsa. Like sometimes, like if you're really feeling salsa, like it'll hit. But you know, also like on a normal basis, like you're probably not so sure.
Yeah, it's not McCormick salsa. It's a step above.
Alex Bregman was one of the best players in baseball before he got hurt with Gremlins.
He was pretty good after he got hurt too with Gremlins.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't a great night for him.
How important is today's win? I go like scale of like 1 to 10.
1 to 10. I don't want to put it. Like, it can't be a 10. I'm not sure if it can be a 9, but it's up there. It's probably an 8. I'd put it at an 8. It's very important, and, you know, not to harp on it, but it's something that you could kind of see in the moment this weekend when they dropped those two very winnable games against the Baltimore Orioles. This is where you feel it the most.
Yeah, see, it brings back to Monday when we talked about this. Yeah. Like, that was one of the conversations we had. It was like, we were okay with the split. But
they had to not do this.
Yes. Yeah, there was a but after. Anything that comes after but usually means you're not telling the truth. If like, I don't mean to offend you, but like, you're going to be about to be offensive. But that's what it was that it's the 2-2 split was fine with the Orioles if you didn't do this. Now I do view that series differently. Like, the being okay with the split is gone now because you should have swept the Orioles. Mm-hmm. And it was fine in the moment. But now that you're just not playing good baseball against this team, you're struggling. I'm going to go 6 for how important today's game is.
Really?
The Kansas City Royals are already up 2-0 on the Cleveland Guardians. They will, if they win today, they will move into first place in the AL Central at 76-58. You then have a 4-game series with them here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make a run at a bye in the playoffs, this is now your opportunity. Because Kansas City is just dominating the Cleveland Guardians right now and moved into first place or a tie for first place, taking advantage of the Royals as the Guardians are collapsing would be a huge momentum changer for this season and hope of what you could accomplish in the regular season. So that's why I'm still going to say like a 6 for today's game. It's not the end of the world if you don't win. It would be really nice if you did and not get swept going into the series. But you can position yourself into saying we can make serious ground up in a 4-game series versus the Royals. Where now they're hot right now. I mean, they've won 7 of their last 10. But
yeah, I think that's a key point is how well the Royals are playing. B, I think we're viewing this similarly, but we're putting emphasis on different parts of this stretch. I'm saying this game is very important because you had the Royals coming up next. You're saying this isn't as important because they can kind of make it up in the Royals.
A little bit.
I'm saying you need to make your money right now. You need to. I mean, again, like the Orioles series.
What are we doing tonight to make our money? Are we going on black, red? Because we're heading to Louisiana right after this.
Yeah,
we're eating Best Stop food.
Yes,
Boudin, egg rolls, crackling. For 2 days straight, and then we're heading to Louisiana to go to Lake Charles, to La Berge, to our show there the next 2 days.
Yes.
So we're going to be eating quality food.
Yes, it's going to be a tough one. We might have to buy clothes while we're at Lake Charles because we might not be the same size at the end of the trip as we are right now.
You know, last week I was all excited. I was down to 205, lowest I've been since I got married. I was like, we're moving in the right direction. These 4 days, setback.
Backslide?
It's going to be a backslide. I don't. Yeah. I'm not one of those people. I don't want to offend anyone listening. And maybe we have some friends. We might have Paul.
Wait,
this might offend Paul.
Wait, you said I don't want to offend anyone, but
yes, I'm going to offend people.
Okay.
I think you're a weirdo if you go to the gym while you're on vacation or at a hotel. Like, there's rarely anyone ever in there. But like, I don't want. Like, I'm not going to be going to La Berge and then like hanging out
and working out. I will say, I don't even know if they have a gym.
They do.
Okay, they do. I was not aware of that. So that tells you where I fall on this divide. I do think there's some times where you do need just to hit the either elliptical or hit the treadmill just to. It's more mental than it is physical, just to feel a little bit better about yourself if it's especially a tough trip, maybe a bachelor party trip, where you wake up, you know, that Saturday or Sunday, and you're like, all right, let me get some good credit in.
Yeah.
Now, morning.
If you're smart, if you go on a bachelor party and you know, and you're a little worried about that, if you're a golfer, you just walk. You just, instead of carting it, you walk the golf
okay.
course. And you enjoy your golf, and you just, you know, you walk the 18 holes, and that's your exercise. Because it's exercise without really feeling like it's exercise, because you're golfing.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a cheat code.
It is a cheat code, for sure. It depends on the weather, I will say that. There's some, so depending on how you're planning this bachelor party, where the walking on the golf course might be harder than running in the air-conditioned gym, but I understand that. It is very hard for me to continue this conversation while this food is here.
Yep.
I have an egg roll in front of me that's talking to me,
I
don't want to eat it on air, but I do want to eat it.
All right, we're about to hit it right now.
Okay.
It's time to eat. We'll be back in
a couple
minutes.
Down my headphones just so the listeners know, I will be eating an egg roll for the next couple minutes.
All right, Soft Boys is next. Who is being soft in the world of sports in the world? I want to make sure without Paul being here today, we get a U.S. government soft boy in while we can. Little political reference, but not super political. Well, maybe. I guess it depends on your view of assassinations, but not recent ones. We'll put it that way. I think I just killed Sean. All right, but we're going to go to break. I want to talk to you guys about what's coming up here in Houston. The Red Bull Show Run is open. It's free for the general public, all ages, no ticket required. You can learn more at www.redbull.com/showrunHouston. Admission is free. You can come on down to Discovery Green on September 7th, courtesy of Red Bull. Red Bull is bringing the sport of F1 racing to Houston on September 7th. Red Bull Show Run Houston is meant to be an admission-free and highly accessible event that will showcase the sport of Formula One racing in the heart of downtown Houston. Come see the cars, come see the drivers, and let me tell you some cool stuff going on while you're there. It's not confirmed yet, so I'm going to hope this doesn't bite me in the butt. But next Thursday, on John and Lance, Paul Wall will be on the show because he is going to be at the Red Bull Show Run, doing some stuff there, getting you ready for the event with the DJs and everything. So Paul Wall will be there. You should be there as well. Check it out at Discover Green on September 7th, the Red Bull Show Run.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Did you know that Houston Restaurant Weeks is the largest annual fundraiser for the Houston food?
Bitch, Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
Hello, I'm George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Best Stop. And Katie, come on out and get some lunch while you're out here. The Killer Bees will be with us, or be here after us from 3 to 6. It's time for Soft Boys. Will Levis. Is he soft? I think he's soft, Sean.
I think this is one where we need a verdict. I think we as a show can come to a conclusion on this.
Uh-huh.
I heard this. It was a recent appearance on
Bussin' with the Boys.
Bussin' with the Boys with Will Levis, and he talked about a phone call he got during the draft that was not from the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, okay.
Like waiting on maybe a phone call. I think at pick 29, get a phone call from somebody. It was a prank call from somebody.
You got a prank call?
Yeah.
Was it somebody you knew?
Random number.
Oh my god!
I still have the number saved. I'll find them someday. No, they just like.
Did you sat there
and like hung up? Yeah.
Oh. They laughed.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I literally got off the phone. I said, "Let's go."
So Will Levis got a prank call at 29. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, at the end of the first round, obviously we remember Will Levis, another former rumored Houston athlete, but this time...
that was really just Jeremy Branham pushing that.
Well, you know, at the top of the draft, and obviously slid into the second round, or into the early second round, and yes, late in the first, he got a call, and it was someone who just snickered on the other side of the line.
And he said he kept the number, and he's going to, like, track him down?
Yes.
I mean, first of all, that's not that hard to do.
Yes.
Like, there are people who get really offended by text messages, and they search them.
Yes.
Can confirm. No comments past that. I'm going to say, because he hasn't acted on this yet, I'm going to call him a sophomore.
Yeah.
I think if you can't just, like, save the number. Like, what are you, just, like, staring at it?
Yeah. It's like if in one of those revenge action, if, like, in The Equalizer or in John Wick, he was just like, I know it was the Russian mob that killed my dog, and I'm waiting for my moment to strike. It's like, dude, you're an NFL quarterback. You have the resources to look for this guy to do something. I think he's just talking. I think it's a little soft of him to hop on a podcast. And I know how maybe hypocritical it is for me to be on a radio show talking tough, but him on a podcast talking tough, I don't like it when he doesn't follow through.
Yeah, I think you got to follow through on your actions. Be it, you know, you have these weird mayo cologne commercials coming out.
Hey. Hellman's, I don't know if it's Hellman's, but spend some of that Hellman's money to track this guy down.
All right, what else? Who else is soft? Dabo Swinney mentioned this yesterday, not taking calls during his weekly radio show.
Yeah.
Soft.
During the coach's
show. Soft, just take them.
The Clemson coach's show last year, I would say, maybe got the most notoriety it's ever gotten when a caller, I believe Tyler from Spartanburg, I think was his name. I forgot what town South Carolina was, called in and questioned Dabo Swinney's coaching abilities and his philosophies. And Dabo went on a 5-minute long rant, clapping back against some guy named Tyler who called into a show. And now the next year of his coach show, no more call-ins. Soft.
You know what's funny? Yeah, you know who's not soft? Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
He did
a coach show after he got fired.
I ran it that night at 790.
God.
We were running LSU games and stuff at the time. And I was, like, assuming it was canceled or it was going to be some assistant coach forced into doing it.
The interim or something. Yeah.
And, like, no. It was because it was after the season. I don't think they played in a bowl game.
They did play. I don't think they played in a bowl game that year.
And he did his coach's show. And it was... It was like a tear fest. Like it was like
it was like goodbye, coach.
Because like they didn't do phone calls. They had a microphone stand, and people would walk up to the walk-ons or whatever it was, and like they would ask questions, and people were like crying because he got fired, and so was he. But I was like, this guy, not a soft boy.
No,
Coach
O. He stood there and faced the music, Coach O. I mean, not surprising, Coach O. Built different.
Yeah, soft boys. The U.S. government.
Oh.
Or at least a former U.S. Secretary of the State, because RFK Jr. says that they blocked the release of the JFK assassination files. And I just want to read them.
Just show me the files?
Just show them to me. So I'm going to say that this, whoever this U.S. Secretary of State is, you're a soft boy. Or girl.
Thank you. Thank you for being very inclusive with whoever this former U.S. Secretary of State is.
Speaking of soft girls.
Oh.
Caitlin Clark.
Uh-oh.
She's a soft girl.
Okay.
Self-admitted.
This is a hot-button issue, but okay.
Self-admitted soft girl.
What's a more hot-button issue, you calling Caitlin Clark a soft girl or the JFK assassination?
Probably Caitlin Clark.
Present-day Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. But in my defense, I'm not calling her a soft girl.
Okay.
She said she's really soft.
Oh.
She said she looked really soft because she sprained her ankle.
Okay.
And, okay, this is the photo, Sean. I'm showing it to you now. If it loads. It's coming. Here we go. Here we go. Look at this face. She is on the ground rather like
yeah, pretty animated.
Pretty animated in a lot of pain.
And how long is she out?
She's not.
That's tough.
But after the game she said she saw the replay and she said, "And I look really soft." So you know what?
If
you're going to be soft, at least admit
yes.
It.
Yeah, like, hand up.
Hand up, I look soft.
Not a proud moment.
I just rolled my ankle, I'm totally fine.
Yes, you can't... That's the situation. If she had to leave the game, or if now she's... We're talking about out for 3 to 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
not soft.
Yes.
If you finish the game, no questions, you're not in a walking boot after the game, It's a little soft, so I like the accountability there. Very rarely on Soft Boys do we get accountability.
Yes, yeah. We don't get self-nominated people very often.
No, it's just not something. Almost never,
that,
I think.
That might be a first. Like, I know Paul and I have only been doing the show together since February, but I know since February, at least, there's been no self-nominations for a Soft Boy.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like we need to start going back to the rundowns and maybe doing a Soft Boy of the Year.
Okay.
Maybe like a little bracket.
Yeah.
Now's slow in December.
Yeah. Now's probably the time to get it in, just to do all the work on the front end and make a like best of list right now before so we don't have to do it.
We don't have to go back that far.
Yeah.
Like, we only have to go 6 months back, not 12 months back.
Yeah.
And then Danny Cannell, Soft Boy of forever in college football.
One of the Hall of Famers.
This tweet has 1.2 million views.
Love it.
He tweeted, "I wanted to hear more details before really having a strong opinion on what Michigan did, but it's clear. They clearly cheated. They have been blatantly lying about the extent of it. They deserve harsh punishment. The entire Harbaugh era at Michigan is tainted."
This is soft.
Dude, beat Georgia Tech first.
You
know what I'm going to be doing next Monday?
What are you going to be doing next
Monday? I'm going to be cheering for Bill O'Brien. I think I hate Florida State.
And the Boston College, yeah.
Okay. I think I hate Florida State fans. Maybe it's just Cannell.
But yeah, Cannell's, as far as face of the fan base goes, Cannell's pretty down there when it comes to the Noles.
Well, yeah, because Deion's not, because Deion didn't graduate from there.
Yes, and he's, I think, disavowed as of late. I don't know if they've reconciled, but I think there was talk that he disavowed the Florida State program.
Yeah, because he wanted the job before he ever coached a game before. Which he'll probably get that job eventually.
If he wants to.
Yeah. If he wants to. I don't know if he's going to want that job. There might be better jobs for him. Honestly. Even if Colorado, I don't believe in Colorado. And we're going to talk about some college football next, but like, I don't really believe in Colorado this year. It's not totally Deion's fault. I think it's still a little bit of the past of Colorado, of what he had to walk into, and the lack of talent. But yeah. I think that eventually he'll get a much better job than this, and it might be a way better job than Florida State, who hates their conference. And that's part of it, too. I hate that like they're trying to – all they do is complain about their conference. Then you should have not signed your contract.
Yeah, the contract they signed is ridiculous looking. The ACC signed like a 13-year contract, locking them into making very little money, the lowest out of all the – power conferences, so that's why Florida State's suing to try to get out of it, and it's definitely not a good look when you're suing to get out of your conference, and in week one, or before week one, in week zero, you lose your first conference game to Georgia Tech, and you're getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage, again, by a bunch of future engineers at Georgia Tech.
Alright, when we get back, we'll get into what's going on in college football. We're starting to see some interesting takes as people start to predict their 12-team playoff. It's not an easy thing to do, but, you know, we've seen one that has 8 SEC teams as a national championship contender or a playoff contender. So we'll start sprinkling in some college football. That's next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92, broadcasting live from the Best Stop in Katy.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Best Stop Cajun Market in Katy.
Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean and Joe here with you today while Paul is on vacation. Come on out to the Best Stop in Katy. Get some food while you're out here. Get some lunch. We just had some of the smoked boudin a little bit. You had one of the boudin balls, Sean.
Yeah.
You had the egg rolls. Not enough egg rolls. I think we're going to have to ask more egg rolls.
What? So good. I think there's one for each of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to.
It could have been a whole plate of egg rolls, and I would have been happy.
Yeah.
Just to be honest.
We could have done that. So, yeah, I mean, all this stuff is great. I think the smoked boudin, I think that's my favorite.
I think
that's my favorite out of the Cajun charcuterie board that we got in front of us.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do. I want to try the pepper jack balls during the next break. That sounds like right. I love pepper jack cheese.
Yeah.
It's right up my alley. I think that's my favorite cheese.
Favorite cheese, pepper jack. That's a good one. That's a good one. It's up there. It's probably in my Mount Rushmore plus one, but it's not.
I don't do it on burgers, though.
No, it's a tough one.
Like a chicken sandwich, maybe.
Yeah. Chicken sandwich. I'll throw it on a turkey sandwich every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. I like it on deli meat.
Yeah.
More like a deli sandwich, more than just like a burger or anything like that. Yeah. All right, so college football's here, finally. Full weekend of college football. A lot of good matchups this weekend. It's not the best week one, but there are some good ones. Obviously, I think Notre Dame, I mean, College Game Day is going to be there. So Notre Dame A&M's the headliner.
Yeah, you're not being a homer by saying that's the best game of this weekend.
Yeah, I did realize that yesterday. I was like, oh, yeah, they're Game Day's there. I'm like, I might have to leave extra early to get there just because I don't really know how chaotic it's going to be. I've never been to College Station.
It depends where they're set up. It depends on where Game Day is set up as far as how it will impact you getting into the stadium.
Yes. I wonder, do you consider Texas A&M like a real threat this year? We'll start here. Because the Athletic put out a survey or an article, and they put their into tiers.
Yeah, they have
contenders.
Yeah, they have this series that they're doing about the playoff where they're going conference by conference, and they have a projection system. It's pretty much just any kind of power rating system where they put teams into different clumps of national championship contender and playoff contender, bowl game, probably not going to make a bowl game. I noticed for the SEC one that they have half the conference as playoff threat. Now, that doesn't mean all of them are going to make the playoff because that would be impossible.
Yeah.
But I thought it really goes to show where you're at, not only in the conference, but also with this 12-team playoff.
Yeah, the 12-team playoff is going to be fascinating to see. Like, I'm going to do more later on, you know, just like how it changes your perspective of college football.
Yeah.
But I still wonder, if you have a conference that's this deep in the SEC and the Big Ten, how they would view – my biggest question is, how do you view a three-loss Texas A&M Aggies team that has good wins over a one-loss Big 12 team or ACC team that doesn't have a good resume?
Yeah, or that lost their conference championship game. Like,
yeah.
They had one loss, lost against whoever in the conference championship, and now you're having to compare them against a team that was, I don't know, fourth in the SEC.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm most curious about. I will say this. If the mock drafts are correct.
Okay.
And Connor Wegman.
You're back on the mock draft narcotic?
Yeah. Yep. No, just think back to the one. And Connor Wegman is a legit NFL prospect. And Mike Elko is a good coach. The recruits are still there. A&M should be a real threat this year. I mean, if he really is that dude at quarterback, and you have all the talent with the Aggies, I wouldn't be shocked if they make the college football playoffs this year. It really would not surprise me. I mean, maybe it's like the pessimistic Notre Dame fan in me, but like part of me is like, am I leaving at halftime?
You're not leaving at halftime.
Because they're losing by 40?
They're not going to lose by 40 at halftime. That's ridiculous.
You know, what's the earliest you ever left a game?
Earliest I've ever left a game, probably in the fourth.
Earliest I ever left a game was halftime.
Really?
I drove to Dallas with Mike Pearson, who used to be the APD of the National Radio Network when I was at Gow from 2015 to 2018. Okay. He's a USC fan. We drove up to Dallas to see Alabama play USC. This is the Sam Darnold game, which the USC players were crawling out like dogs out of the tunnel, and they got smoked by Bama, and we left at halftime. Maybe it was into the third quarter, but like it was such a bad game where Mike was like, he does not want to be there for this. And I was like, okay, I have no affiliation to this. I just want to go to Jerry World.
Yeah, also, I lied. I might have left a baseball game in, like, the sixth.
Well, that's different. Yeah. Baseball's boring. I still love it. But so they have Georgia, Alabama, Texas in this Athletic article as their national title contenders. I totally agree with that. But I'm going to add Ole Miss into this list for almost the same reason as Texas A&M. Like, if you believe in Jackson Dart, and he is this NFL draft prospect that people are saying he's supposed to be, then they should be significantly better than this next year. They should be a college football playoff team. And maybe they're the 11th seed. But now with 12 teams in, I'm going to guess, Sean, and say the SEC gets 4 of the 12.
Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable guess.
I'd put it about 4-2 as an expectation. The thing with all these quarterbacks is this year there is no Caleb Williams coming back. There is no Drake May coming back, where there's a guy who already you feel pretty good about. He's going to be a top five pick in the draft. It's a whole bunch of guys that are either coming back, like didn't go into the draft and are coming back, or are first-time starters or rising juniors that every fan base is thinking, okay, what if this guy takes a step up, we could really be doing something here. Because, I mean, just going down the list, just in the SEC of the quarterbacks of these teams.
Carson Beck
seems like he's the surest bet of all these guys.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how sure of a bet he is.
No.
Or how, at least top end, he's not a difference maker the way that, again, Caleb was last year for USC. You have Jalen Milroe, who got benched last year at some point. You have Quinn Ewers, who was eligible to leave for the draft last year and came back, which speaks to what scouts and NFL people thought of Quinn Ewers.
When six quarterbacks went in the first round.
And six quarterbacks went in the first round. You have Jackson Dart, who, like you mentioned, I'm sure Ole Miss fans think he's going to take a step up. You have Brady Cook from Missouri. He's like fine. He's like a fine quarterback. You have Garrett Nussmeier, who's a first-time starter at LSU, obviously filling in for Jaden Daniels, who just won a Heisman. You have Nico Iamaleva at Tennessee.
That's how you say it.
The trick is to power throw. And he looked good in the bowl game. He was obviously a highly touted recruit. So I think Tennessee fans are thinking, hey, if he really pops.
I mean, if Josh Heupel is the coach that you think he's going to be. Yeah,
Jackson Arnold for Oklahoma is another highly touted quarterback that is going to have his first time starting. So there's so many guys, and I didn't even mention Wegman at A&M. So there's so many quarterbacks, and you feel like one of these guys is going to pop.
And whoever pops is probably the number one pick in the NFL draft.
Yes. And the hard part is, who's going to pop?
Yeah, because there's so many of them.
I mean, I went through seven guys in the SEC.
Yeah, if you look at like what people people are thinking early on about next year's draft class, all those quarterbacks are mentioned by different people. And then you have Shedeur Sanders. There's a couple others. Like, you never know, because like there's going to be some version of Jaden Daniels or maybe even a Bo Nix. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if Gabriel what at Oregon now, if he's like just the next Bo Nix. I doubt it, but like has this incredible year and puts himself into a conversation. The whole Bo Nix thing like still throws me off, because all I still think about is his Auburn days.
Yeah,
and now he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Do you think four from the SEC? Would you say four from the Big Ten as well, or do you think it's a little bit less? Well, I guess we'll start in reverse. So you have the one, not the Power Five team that's going to be the 12 seed.
So you just have the five conference winners.
Yes.
So now you're
anyone else from the ACC besides the winner? You think? I'm going to say no.
I'm going to go no, but maybe when we circle back, we might be able to add one.
Do you think you'll see one? I think you'll see one more from either the Big 12 or the ACC.
Yeah, those two conferences will get one at large.
So that's six.
There'll be three total from those. Yeah. So
there's six teams left. So, I mean,
three at large each for the Big Ten and SEC put you at four for both of them. So I think that's what we're looking at. I think we're looking at four from the Big Ten, four from the SEC, one more at large from either the Big 12 or the ACC, and then at large is the rest of the way down. And I think what we're going to learn with the 12-team playoff and with how big these conferences are, what's going to matter is who you draw in your conference schedule a lot. That's where a lot of the Ole Miss hype is coming from, because you look at their schedule. They avoid a lot of tough spots in that Ole Miss schedule. So there is a little bit imbalance with the way these schedules are lined up in these huge conferences where you can't play everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I can't wait for this college football season. I think it's going to be I don't love the realignment and the way it all shook out. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC. I think that's really cool. It's never going to be normal to me that Rutgers is going to have to play like UCLA.
I'm just in
conference play.
Yeah, honestly, it's harder for me to think of Rutgers and Maryland as Big Ten schools as it is for me to think of like Oregon and Washington as Big Ten schools. I don't know what math I'm doing there, but I'm still getting over the first round of realignment from the last decade.
I'll tell you, like, one of my takes that I will stand by is that when they do this again, we're going to see teams get kicked out.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand by that one. That when they expand, again, or they become a super league, that Rutgers, Maryland, Vanderbilt, Northwestern, maybe Illinois, like some of these schools to merge with the ACC and the Big 12 are going to get kicked out of their conferences because they don't bring in enough revenue in terms of ticket sales, no matter how good they are. Like they just don't bring enough to a conference besides academics, which don't matter anymore.
Hey, if you're one of those schools, start investing in basketball. Maybe the Big 12 will scoop you up.
Fact. That's a big-time fact.
just start messing with the basketball.
All right. Is the Astros lineup, assuming Kyle Tucker's back?
Big assumption.
And we'll say not. How good? How good is it? How far can it take you? Can it take you to the World Series? Can it take you to the ALCS? If you're a super Debbie Downer, can it get you to the playoffs? How far can the Astros lineup take you? That's next here on Glott and George, broadcasting live from the Best Stop in Katy on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.